This is James Coover with K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District with your Extension Crop Report. I've already seen and heard of reports of yellowing in some wheat fields. Generally, this is more common in the spring right after green-up. However, it could be that this incredibly mild winter is causing issues we wouldn't expect this time of year. As far as diseases, barley yellow dwarf can cause yellowing, but is rarely widespread in areas over the field and is unlikely to be seen in the fall. Tan spot is another disease possibility, but has been rather dry for this fungal disease. Most likely, field-wide yellowing this time of year is caused by nutrient deficiencies. Most likely, these nutrient deficiencies, namely nitrogen and sulfur, and if plenty of nitrogen was used pre-plant, then that leaves sulfur. Most plant available sulfur comes from the breakdown of organic matter. However, high-yielding crops like corn and sometimes soybeans, and also winter crops that are grown in times when organic matter turnover is low, sulfur deficiencies is possible in our heavy clay soils. Wheat this time of year and in early spring is especially known to have symptoms of sulfur deficiency. Wheat after soybeans has extra risk, as soybeans removes large amounts of sulfur from the soil. Sulfur, in its organic form, sulfate, will tend to cling to clay particles, but it also tends to leach down into the subsoil. In this area, with our heavy clay and shallow soils, sulfur can collect in the clay layer right above the impermeable rock layer. Unfortunately, this can be out of the range for young plant roots to reach. Looking at the individual plant, easiest identification is in the boundaries between the very yellow wheat and the wheat that is still green. A sulfur-deficient plant will have chlorosis in the newer leaves, while nitrogen deficiency will affect the older leaves. Severely deficient wheat in both nitrogen or sulfur can be completely yellow. However, minor deficiencies might not be seen at all, but can still affect yield. Testing for sulfur in the soil can only be accurately done with a 24-inch profile test, since we don't often have a 24-inch soil around here to take as deep as possible. Since sulfur is mobile in the soil, a normal 6-inch sample isn't going to catch the real status of sulfur in the soil. Because a profile test is more difficult to take, and because its usefulness is only for that crop, I often suggest only to take one or two profile samples per field. Any profile test will also include nitrogen and chloride as well, all three of which are important for wheat. Ideally, take the profile test a few weeks before planned fertilization, so results can be processed in time, but not so early that the results will be inaccurate. Putting on sulfur fertilizer is easy, and it comes in all kinds of forms. A common dry fertilizer is gypsum, which is calcium sulfate and 18.6% sulfur. Gypsum can be top dressed in the spring, but it takes some rain for it to dissolve. Ammonium sulfate is another dry fertilizer that supplies part of the nitrogen as well. Ammonium triosulfate and potassium triosulfate are liquid fertilizers, and they both can be mixed with UAN and top dressed with a dribble bar. Rates of sulfur fertilizer will often be around 10 to 20 pounds per acre. If you have any questions about wheat fertilization, please give me a call at 620-724-8233. This has been James Coover with your Extension Crop Report.